It's Thursday, getting closer and closer to the big showdown on Saturday in Austin. But the 100th season of the NFL gets underway. Can it be any more fitting than the Packers and the Bears? And be careful what you ask for, Oakland Raiders. You got exactly what you should have anticipated. Today, Thursday, September 5th, 2019.
I was definitely really anxious, you know, because I definitely wanted to be here for the start of the season. But I'm happy it got done when it did, and I'm glad I was able to rejoin my teammates and, start the season with them.
One thing about football is you'll never have the same team, no matter what. You never have everybody on the same team from the previous year. So I think this team is going to develop another form, another essence. We're going to be able to say we're different, but it definitely just starts with actions and execution.
It really doesn't matter. All the hoop loss, kicking off the NFL season, the Hunter season, all that really doesn't matter when you get in between those white lines. Everybody's got to go out there. We got to do our job and just execute the play at hand and just really have tunnel vision head into Soldier Field.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yes, the NFL gets underway tonight, season number 100. Could it be any more fitting than the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears? The longest rivalry in the NFL, two storied programs, same division. What a great matchup it will be. Football is truly, truly back, and I'd love to say what a great time I had last night at Twin Peaks with our fantasy draft party. Some of the nicest people I have ever met. It was a lot of fun, and I can't thank each and every one of you enough for showing up and contributing. It was great. Had a blast. So it's my first foray into fantasy football. So it would take too long to mention each and every one of you, but you know who you are, and thank you. And you know the one that stole my picks, not once but twice. I'm coming after you. But that was an awful lot of fun. But no more fantasy. It's real life football now, except for the drama that we have ensuing in Oakland. Be careful what you ask for. Know what you're going to get when you do, and don't be surprised when that person acts like that person has acted. Antonio Brown and Raiders general manager Mike Mayock got into it apparently on Wednesday, and the team now is planning to suspend Brown. Look, the GM did what the GM has to do. He missed practices. He missed meetings. He was fined $54,000. Doesn't mean they're going to ask to collect the money from him. They just have to send that letter out. It's a league rule. Now, what Mike Mayock did wrong is show up on the practice field and go up and talk to Antonio Brown, who he knew had displeasure with him and who knew that there was going to be problems. Well, apparently, I don't know what happened. Words were spoken. I don't know if there was a physical altercation. Time will tell. But my goodness gracious, is the talent worth the baggage? I don't think it is. I don't. If I'm the Raiders, I get rid of him. Turn him loose. Tired of him. He's old. It's old news. It just sends such a bad message to your locker room. It just does. I'm done on Antonio Brown. I'm done. I'm not done on the LSU Tigers. And I'm not done on the direction that this team is going as they head to Austin. On his radio show last night, which you heard right here on 103.7 The Game, Coach O talked about, man, he likes where this offense is right here, right now.
Yeah, I was really proud of our coaching staff. There was a lot of preparation going into the first game. Obviously, playing a triple option, hold them under 100 yards total offense, 98 yards. Great job by Dave Aranda and our staff. Excellent job by Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady in the offense. One of the best offensive performers I've seen since I've been here. Very crisp, very efficient. Threw the ball to 14 different players, no sacks. Led by Joe Burrow, who's an excellent quarterback. We're excited about the offense and the direction it's going in, but we have a big, stiff challenge this week, and I think we'll answer the call.
Big, stiff challenge, particularly for the defense. Sam Ellinger is a heck of a quarterback, does an awful lot of good things. Coach O talked about stopping the quarterback for the Horns.
You know, he's a good thrower. We're going to have to be in coverage, make him throw the short throws and tackle in space. The thing that we can't let them do is run around, especially if they start to run the zone read option, the quarterback power. He's like a tailback. We're going to have to tackle him. The thing that he does best is scramble. And when he starts to scramble, we're going to have a pocket around him, use our speed, tackle him, not let him make big plays. When they get in the red zone, he's going to have the ball in his hands. They're going to run the quarterback power, quarterback draw. He wants the football, and he wants to score, and he's hard to tackle.
Can I hear anyone say spy, spy, spy? She's got depth at the linebacker position. Know where he is. Meanwhile, Monday night, it'll be the Saints versus the Texans in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. When you think Texans, you think J.J. Watt. He talked about his job against the Saints offense.
I mean, they've been a very good offense. I mean, obviously, they have some playmakers. Drew Brees has been doing it for a very long time at an extremely high level. Kamara is a great back who can do a lot of different things. He can run, he can catch. Obviously, they have Thomas, who's an incredible receiver. So for us, it's going out there and playing our assignments, playing our technique, and doing your job and trying to make plays.
His counterpart on the Saints' defensive line is Malcolm Brown. The key to stopping the Texans starts with Deshaun Watson.
Man, he's elusive back there. I mean, he knows how to find the rush and where they're at and how to escape out the pocket. Got to try to keep him in the pocket. That's all. He can throw the ball. Outside the pocket, he's a real good thrower. So we basically just got to keep him in the pocket and try to crush it on him.
Keep him in the pocket and pressure him. All right, we got a busy day planned for you and yours. Hour number one, we're talking LSU football. We've got Brody Miller coming up next from The Athletic, followed by Cody Worsham. Hour number two, we'll talk NFL after Hot Topics. John Hendricks talks about the Saints, and the Schwab makes his picks week one of the NFL. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Tigers, Longhorns, next.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 1037 The Game.
Last big work day of the week for both LSU and Texas. LSU will be traveling out tomorrow. And Brody Miller of The Athletic will be there. And he joins us now for his thoughts on, let's face it, it's the biggest non-conference game of the non-conference season. Brody, good afternoon. Thank you for your time. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Jordy?
I'm good. Where does this game measure in the Brody Miller anticipatory manners?
From a pure football perspective, I mean, there were some really big ones last year, so it might not be as high. I mean, it's not in the LSU-Alabama territory. It's not in the – probably not even in LSU-Auburn from last year territory. But from a big picture perspective, it is one of the more fascinating games I can remember, just because, one, you have all these just – it's actually ridiculous how many kind of interweaving storylines are going on in this game. And then you just have two programs – who 10 years ago both were at the top of college football, you know, perennial powers, and both are just trying to make that one last jump to get back to that spot to really be a playoff contender, to be back there. And I think the winner of this game, at least for a few weeks, will be back in that argument 100%. So I just think there's a whole – both these schools are fighting to be quote-unquote back, and I think there's just so much excitement here that I'm fascinated by this week.
Brody, a lot of pundits of yours are calling this a college football playoff elimination game. Are you in that ledger as well?
I guess when you really think about it, you got to some extent agree with that. I mean, you know, if Texas loses, it's just, you know, their schedule. I mean, one, I'm not really a huge Texas believer, so if they lose, you know, and then you really don't have that many other games on your schedule besides Oklahoma that's really going to jump out to anyone. So I think that's definitely fair. And then for LSU, if you lose this game, clearly you have some other problems. You know what I mean? So I think that would be more of a, oh, no, maybe they're not as good as people think they are. Yeah. And then you have, you know, you still got Auburn, Florida, Mississippi State, Alabama, Texas A&M. You imagine you're going to lose one or two other games. So I think that's fair. I mean, LSU would have to beat Alabama to lose this game and still make the playoffs.
Brody Miller of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Brody Miller. You had to be impressed. Take away the opposition just with the execution, players knowing where they're supposed to be, didn't seem to make any foolish mental mistakes. Game one had to be right up there in, as far as execution is concerned, one of the best LSU's had.
Absolutely. And that's kind of, I mean, before this started, I mean, before the game last week, I kind of said, you know, don't look at, because I didn't think they'd show that much, to be honest, but I said, don't look at stats, don't look at much of that. The thing you got to look for in this game is just, how does this offense flow? You know, you're trying all these new things. Does Burrow have a connection with his receivers? Is he able to get the ball out quick and make quick decisions? Because that's going to be essential this season. You know, just things like that. You know, do they have penalties? Do they move quickly? Get the ball out fast? That's what you were looking for last week, and they showed all of that, and then some. They just looked like they had a chance to be a legitimately high-powered, you know, just super talented offense, because the big thing that you always have to remember with LSU, and I don't have to tell you this, but LSU's always had the talent on offense. I mean, there's always been star receivers here. There's always been star running backs here. You know, generally there's an offensive line talent. It's just, and as much as people like to joke about the quarterback, it really is just like they've never had an offense that's modern, that gets the most out of this talent. So, yeah, I'm not sure I'm saying LSU's going to be a top 5 or 10 offense this season, but to actually have an offense that gets the most out of that talent and puts them in position to make plays, that's just a huge step forward when you already had maybe, in my opinion, what could be one of the best defenses in America.
I am with you 100%. I wanted to touch upon that. wow, they've got hybrid players everywhere. They're fast. I saw so many opening games with players missing tackles. LSU didn't miss a one. They have a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, Dave Aranda talked to us this summer, and, he's, you know, players will kind of allude to this too, that I think Dave Aranda's used to be a very big believer in executing your staples and just kind of really beating you with what you do well. And he's learned to kind of evolve more, get more creative, have more wrinkles in your defense for everything an offense might be doing, more kind of quote-unquote beaters. And I think there's never been an LSU defense that I can remember more well-suited to that because, as you said, those hybrid players. Grant Delpa can be your back-end safety. He can be your true outside linebacker, and he can be your nickel corner. Same with Jacoby Stevens to some extent. And he looked like a freak last week, to be honest with you. So did Delpa. You know, you have a defense that sounds like it's going to attack more. Yeah. And then the most important thing is you have Caleb Onchafson back. I mean, you just can't underestimate that because that changed everything last season. You couldn't really do a four-man rush, at least not a traditional one last season. And that, so all of a sudden you had to send all these creative pressures, and then that's leaving weaknesses other places in the defense. Now you have Caleb Onchafson back. You can do a four-man rush, we think. And he can be one of the best pass rushers in the country if he's healthy. And that opens up everything else for your defense because you already add one of the what looks to be, you know, what Ed Orgeron's called his most talented secondary he's ever been around. If you can do a four-man rush and have that secondary back there, yeah, I genuinely think there's arguments made this could be the best defense in the country if it works out.
Bernie Miller, you follow Twitter. You've talked to your peers in Austin. What are those people over there saying about this game?
I think the vibe over there, you know, I actually just as we speak finished a live chat with my colleague Kalen Jones, who covers Texas for The Athletic. And, you know, I think the vibe there is Texas, you know, there's a lot of expectation here. They think there's a chance for this to be a great team and all that. But I don't think anyone's going to be, you know, beating down doors or kind of, you know, fire Tom Herman if they lose this game. You know, I think there's at least an understanding that LSU is probably the better football team in a vacuum, but they expect it to be a great game, and they certainly think they can win and all that. But I think there's a little more kind of understanding. I think there's a lot of hype right now around Sam Ehlinger, a lot of hype around Colin Johnson. So, I mean, there's a lot of talent there, but I think everyone there at least deep down probably knows Texas is probably one more year away from being a college football contender.
Bernie Miller, The Athletic, kind enough to join us. When you talk to LSU football players, this is a whole new ball game. Playing in Tiger Stadium's one thing against an opponent like they played against. Now you go on the road for the first time. Boy, it helps to have leadership. It helps to help. It helps to have players that have been there and done that before. But a lot of newcomers will be playing and will be counted upon in this game. What kind of excitement level did you get from them?
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned the kind of balance of veteran newcomer, and you're right. I mean, it is interesting that you have, you know, Derek Stingley's making his first start, first test, I should say, and you're going to have a lot of youngsters kind of getting that kind of time. But, yeah, I mean, I think the excitement and vibe from the LSU side is, you know, it's pretty, you know, I never like using the word cocky because of the connotation that goes with that, but it's very confident, you know. You know, obviously, Caleb Onchafson's been making headlines with him talking trash and all that, and he kind of walked those back the other day. And then you added, you know, Kerry Vincent, Grant Delpit, and all these guys. I mean, they don't talk like they're not talking trash. They're just kind of matter of factly saying, like, yeah, we're LSU and we think we're genuinely better. You know, it's kind of just matter of fact, which has been really interesting. Like, LSU thinks, all right, we're LSU and we just have to take care of business. That's kind of how they view it.
Bernie Miller of The Athletic. What's the key to this thing to you for LSU to win?
Defensively, I think the key is it's Chasson. I have another story on him running tomorrow. I've kind of beaten this one over the head to people, but I just think if you can pressure Sam Ehlinger, LSU wins this game. And if you pressure him, you win this game. And if Caleb Onchafson is what people think he is, he can get that rush. He can be the game changer. My prediction on the limb is I think you see a Chasson strip sack. I just think he I think he's the way they can stop Elliott in this passing game. Because if you can get him getting a rush, then you can keep those defenders back and really have an advantage. Offensively, I kind of think you got to run the ball. I think, you know, I really think, not as their full game plan, but okay. I think, not yet. I'm not saying, like, go out there and pound the ball 60% of the time or something, but I feel pretty confident in this LSU passing game. But I think Kyle Orlando's a really good DC. I think he faces these kind of offenses more often. I think there's probably a good chance he knows how to counteract that to some extent. I think you really need to be able to run the ball on this Texas front seven. And, you know, I don't think – I'm not 100% confident LSU can, you know. We didn't see much Saturday to show this necessarily a great running game. So I'm really interested to see how that looks.
Right. Critical that Sadiq Charles is back. Maybe that offensive line gets better and is able to do just that. Maybe.
Yes, that's pretty important. I think that's a pretty, you know, Bedard Traore did not quite look great on Saturday. I think that's a pretty sizable upgrade going from Traore to Sadiq Charles. And, you know, Charles has his issues as a pass blocker, but kind of as we were talking about the run game, he's a pretty great run blocker. And just the word from everyone around this program is that Sadiq Charles should be much better than last season. Now that he's healthy, now he's got another year of experience, I think you will see a big improvement there. And I think, you know, it's your left tackle spot. I'm not, you know, really being creative here by saying it's one of the most important positions on the field. So having him back really is huge for this kind of game against a much better pass rush.
Hi, Brody Miller of The Athletic. We ask everybody, so we'll ask you, how do you see this? How do you see this game going? LSU's favored. I mean, the line keeps going up and up. It's up to what, six and a half? How do you see this thing turning?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think, you know, I've been saying since I think March that I think LSU wins this game convincingly, but still loses one other game that shouldn't. I just think that's kind of how things work, right? They're probably going to they win this and then maybe lose to Florida or Auburn or State. You know, it's just how things work. But now I felt that way in March, like I was saying, but now you saw how LSU's offense looked. And I'm not saying they're going to look like that every week, but if that's what's possible, my prediction is LSU wins this game like 38-24. I think they can win this one by multiple scores.
Double digits. All right. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him at The Athletic. He is Brody Miller. He's terrific. We thank you for your time as always, buddy. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Tony, guys. Take care.
All right, buddy. You take care. Brody Miller. I will continue the conversation. Cody Worsham will join us, LSU Digital Media Director. He's gone into the film room and saw some things that he liked. We'll delve into that next here on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, sometimes best laid plans go awry. We are efforting to get in touch with Cody Worsham, LSU's digital media reporter. Having no success yet, something must have come up. But that's okay. That's okay. Continuing on the theme of LSU football, 14 different receivers caught passes in game one. 14. And it continues to amaze me. There has been a lineage of the Jefferson family coming to LSU from Destrehan, Louisiana. John and Elaine have sent Jordan Jefferson, they've sent Ricky Jefferson, and now they've got Justin Jefferson. And Justin's another one of those kids under the radar. He was a three-star prospect by 247 Sports and by Scout. Didn't have the biggest numbers, didn't have the most impressive stats. In fact, when he came to LSU, a lot of people thought he was a walk-on. But not the case anymore. He has become a household name and he has become the go-to receiver for LSU. Continues to lead them game in and game out in this new passing game. So Justin Jefferson, the best of the Jefferson family, no question about it. And you know you've arrived when teams start to game plan against you. And that's what teams are starting to do, and yet they still find a way to get things done. The opening line in this LSU-Texas game was about 4. It's now up to 6.5. Well, actually, it started at 3. LSU was favored by 3. It's now LSU by 6.5. Hydrate if you're going to the game. LSU's been hydrating all week long. The temperature, according to AccuTemp, game time is going to be 104 degrees on the turf. 104 degrees. I mean, sheesh, Louise. That's serious business there. I mean, yes, LSU's been practicing in the heat, but man, when it gets to that kind of temp, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't. You've got to be high. And that's why depth so critically important. And I think LSU showed it, albeit against Georgia Southern, but they showed it. And that's, got these kids in the game, got them some meaningful snaps, and therefore they should be ready to go. But look, it's a different beast, right? It's a different beast when you go on the road. It just is. Everything changes. You're traveling. You're not sleeping in your bed. Now, you're isolated. LSU never stays in the town where they're playing. They always stay at the furthest an hour away. They preferably like to be about 30 minutes away from all the hullabaloo. And why? Well, because, you know, kids are kids, and Texas Longhorn students may come into that hotel and pull the fire alarm and wake everybody up. It's happened before. It'll happen again. But LSU brings security, so they'll be all ready to go. It is a business trip. LSU going to leave a little bit earlier tomorrow, get settled in, go to the field, take a look-see at it, and then it's nothing but meetings. Now, when LSU's on the road or at home and it's a night game, a Saturday night game, they'll eat, they'll go see a movie, they'll come back, they'll meet again, they'll get a little snack, and then they'll go to bed. And then the next day, it's all business. Meetings after meetings, walkthroughs, pregame meal, another walkthrough, get on the bus and go. Get on the bus and go. I wanted to get Cody on because he did an interesting story about these wide receivers. They had eye-tracking glasses. They had Batman masks. They caught passes when they were behind goalposts and behind closed doors. Receivers caught 10,000 balls each this summer, and some in some strange and unusual ways as compared to others, how they trained their eyes and their minds for this season. And I think you can see the impact that Joe Brady has had. Not only does he coach the wide receivers and get them to run the routes correctly, but he's also trained them to catch the football. And LSU caught the football in a myriad of ways. You got to keep it interesting. You got to do it. You stand behind a closed door, your hands are raised, and here comes a ball, and boom, you got to catch it. And then you got to catch it again. So you don't want to keep them bored in the offseason. You want to keep doing things. You're going to be innovative, creativity, to get away from when boredom sets in. That's when mental fatigue sets in, and that's when you have drop passes. In 2018, LSU finished 96th among FBS teams in catch percentage, reeling in just 84% of catchable targets. That's according to Pro Football Focus. In 13 games, LSU dropped 26 passes. LSU's receivers accounted for 21 of those drops. So LSU went to work and went to work in a myriad of ways. Stand behind a closed door. When it opens, a ball is thrown a split second earlier. It's in the air. If you drop the ball, you drop to the ground for 20 push-ups. So that's new. And that's different. You know, jugs machines are one thing. You know, you put goggles on. Now you try to catch them. So every single day, and it showed in week one. No drop passes. Complete confidence in their quarterback to the wide receivers. And you catch 10,000 balls a day in the summer. I mean, you catch 10,000 balls in the course of a summer. That's an awful lot. So it's just the attention to detail that has, as Ed Orgeron has raved, every time he talks about or a question is asked of him about the offense or the defense, the first thing Ed Orgeron always says is he throws praise upon his coaching staff. Continuously throws praise on them. And because of that, man, that's just good. Good medicine, good practicing. So it's attention to detail, attention to the little things. But they keep it fun. And that's the key to coaching. You have kids. These are young men. Their attention span is limited. You gotta do something different. You gotta do something to change things up. Different drills. It helps. It really, really helps. And now all of these players have a respect for their coach, Joe Brady, who practices what he preaches. His receivers are having fun. They laugh all the time. The whole room has a fun attitude. The coach is just 29 years old, so the players talk to him just like they talk to one of their teammates. And that's one of the things that Joe Brady preaches each day, every day. Go out there, have fun. Pay attention to the things that you have to do, but at the same time, we're not going to coax the athletes out of our football players, says Joe Brady. We're going to allow them to have fun. We're going to allow them to do what they do best. And that just makes common sense, right? Common sense. They work. They work, and they keep statistics on everything. Everything. Data. How do you train your eyes? How do you do things the right way? So this is a good receiving core. They're facing another good receiving core in Texas. They're facing a really good quarterback in Texas. So the LSU offense has to do their job, particularly in this type of environment. You got to extend drives. You got to move the chains. You got to give your defense time to rest, time to hydrate. You don't want three and outs and back on the field. You got to give them the chance to catch their breath. And depth is a factor. There's no question. Texas has really one running back and then two guys that moved over from different positions. But don't let that fool you. LSU's done that in the past. They took a running back and made him into the best linebacker in the country in Devin White. So just because they didn't start there doesn't mean they can't be effective there. So don't sell anybody short, not in this type of game, not in this type of environment. You know Texas is going to come out swinging. You know that. And you know they've got a good coach. Heck, we wanted him. We loved him for a time when we thought we were going to get him. So don't start hating him now or thinking he's no good because he's coaching for the other team. He can coach. He wouldn't have gotten that gig if he couldn't. So it's the attention to detail. It's locking in on doing your job when you get tired, when the sun's blazing on you, when it's hotter than Hades on that field. Who has the mental discipline, the mental toughness to do their job? When you get, my coach used to always tell me, fatigue makes cowards of us all, and that's when turnovers come into play. Mental breakdowns, mental mistakes, forgetting the fundamentals, maybe taking the easy way out. But I don't see that with this LSU team. They've got too much depth. All these players know. They'll be in, they'll be out. They'll be back in again. They'll keep rotating that defensive line. That's pretty smart. That's pretty good. So, again, very impressed with Justin Jefferson. I guess goes to show you. Some players develop early. Some players develop late. Just a 3-star in high school. Now look at him. Best receiver for the second year in a row on a team loaded with wide receivers. And I can't wait to see LSU come out on their first play of offense. And instead of being in that 11 formation with one running back, one tight end, and 3 wideouts, watch the Tigers come out with 5 wides and Joe Burrow in the shotgun, and let's see what happens. Can't wait. Cannot wait. We talked with Ryan Clark yesterday, who's a really good mind, has been at the highest level, played in a Super Bowl, and won the darn thing. If things don't go great early, look, LSU's first 5 drives of the game against Georgia Southern, they got in the end zone. They had no problems. They had no issues. They didn't punt till the second half. What if they go 3-and-out? Will they stick with the plan? Will they have enough confidence in the plan to continue it, even though they're not having some success? I can tell you this much. On the road, it'll change a little bit. LSU will run the football a little bit more often. They've got 5 of them back there. So we'll wait and we'll see. All right, let's take a quick timeout. Sorry about that with Mr. Worsham, but we'll try another day with him. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, 51 minutes and some change after the hour. NFL talk coming up in hour number 2. The Raging Cajuns are at home. Still no word on Liberty head coach Hugh Freeze and his ability or inability to make the trip. I think he's coming. I really do. And I think he'll be up in the press box, whether he's in a bed or in a chair, whatever. I don't know. Time will tell on that one, but we will find out. Keys to the game against Liberty. Well, you got to just protect the football after the, you know, after the early start and the couple of turnovers, the interception, the lateral that was picked up by Mississippi State. The Raging Cajuns kind of settled in. I'm curious as to what this offensive line is going to be like now. Left guard Kent Marks is going to miss the rest of the season. The injuries have forced Billy Napier to turn to redshirt sophomore Shane Velo and at center. And a combination of sophomore Max Mitchell, Osias Torrance at left guard. Mitchell will also rotate with senior Rico Robinson at left tackle. So experience not as heady on this with the absences of Prudhomme and Marks. So Napier and offensive line coach and coordinator Rob Sell had to do some things, right? Have to do some things. And I think for this team to be effective Yes, Levi Lewis is very, very elusive when he's making plays. But I think the Raging Cajuns need to establish their running game. I think they've got to go back to their bread and butter and figure things out. They allowed Mississippi State to run the ball for 261 yards. That's way too many yards given up, while the Cajuns only ran it for 164 yards themselves. And still through all of that, the turnovers and all of that, the Cajuns found themselves down just 7 points with under 3 minutes to play. So they're right there. So look, the formula is simple. Hold on to the football. Don't give it up. Don't give it away to Liberty. Run the ball effectively. Let that three-headed monster go to work. Use them. Use them in the heat, in the humidity. Pound that rock. Pound them. And conversely, you get more plays, keep your defense off the field, keep them rested. You got a much better chance of stopping the run. That's plain and simple. I think the UL offense is still the strength of this club and their ability to control the clock and keeping the Cajuns' defense fresh should be the formula in the hot and humid conditions that are guaranteed for Saturday night at Cajun Field, should provide the impetus for a win. Now, if you establish that running game, that takes pressure off of Levi Lewis. He becomes a little bit more consistent, doesn't feel like he has to make big play after big play, and now that goes a long way to help the Raging Cajuns on Saturday night. So it's not that difficult. It's not that it just isn't. So, again, you talk about the offensive line, you talk about the running game, and you've got to utilize that strength, plain and simple. So get those backs on the field and utilize them. Trey Regas, Raymond Calais, and Elijah Mitchell. Mitchell is scary, man. He's a combo back. He's got more power than Calais. He's got more speed than Regas. But all three can catch the ball out of the backfield. So their ability to take the pressure off of Levi Lewis is critical to the play calling of Billy Napier. And once you start establishing that running game, then you've got play action. Maybe you can go over the top, get a deep ball, all those kind of things. But it all starts up front with the run game. Got to continue to just run it and run it, particularly against the Liberty Flames, who, look, they only lost to Syracuse 24-0. So their defense was pretty good, a 22nd-ranked team in the country in Syracuse. Their offense just fell asleep. So you know Liberty will be a little bit better on that side of the ball. The question is, can the Cajuns get better on the offensive side and keep their defense off the field? Time will tell for that 6:30 kickoff at Cajun Field. All right, hour number one is history. We've got hot topics coming up in hour number two. John Hendricks of Forbes Sports will join us to talk about the New Orleans Saints. And then the Schwab, Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, will make all the picks for week one of the NFL, including the season opener tonight, the Bears and the Packers from Soldier Field, Chicago. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
All right, it's hour number two, and away we go. Lots of NFL talk coming your way. The big story in the NFL today, ho-hum, another Antonio Brown story where he gets into a confrontation with his general manager, Mike Mayock of the Oakland Raiders, and now the Raiders apparently are going to suspend Antonio Brown. You knew what you were getting when you got him. Why should you be surprised? Why do you even keep him? Is the talent worth the payoff? Sheesh, Louise, I don't think it is. I'm sorry, I just don't. I think it sends the wrong message to the rest of those 52 players in that locker room, but that's just my thoughts. Never is one player above the team, but Antonio Brown certainly thinks that he is. So we'll talk about the Saints. They open up Monday night against the Houston Texans in the Superdome. You got to love the Saints on a Monday night. That crowd is going to be raucous. Season opener, great expectations. So we'll delve with that. The Schwab will tell us who will win later on in the program. But we start each and every day at this time of day with our daily walk around the sports water cooler. So CD, please push that button.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, so we talked about it yesterday. CD tried to give me a primer on fantasy football. We had our Jordy Hultberg Fantasy Football League draft last night at Twin Peaks. I said it earlier, some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. I was incredibly impressed with their knowledge of pro football. It was amazing. CD was as organized as he always is. It was very efficiently run. So, CD, I had a great time. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic, Jordy, just to hang around with everybody. It was definitely a phenomenal draft. Probably one of the fastest drafts I've ever been a part of in terms of the live one, because online can wind up cruising along pretty quickly.
There's a reason why I said, yeah, we got to snap this up. I asked you, I said, is there a time limit between picks? You went, no. I said, oh yeah, there is. Oh yeah. We're going to put you on the clock. We're putting you on the clock. So how would you rate, just be honest, cause we haven't talked about it, how would you rate my, first fantasy draft with the picks that I had?
You did really well, Jordy, and, you know, I'm not necessarily going to give you the grade. I'll make sure Yahoo gives you the grade. I meant to text you this last night, but between all the fun that we were having at the draft party after you left, let me give you the grade right here, right now, Jordy. You have a B in the draft report card, the second best
in
the
league.
A B.
Okay.
The blonde bomber is going to be a force
like
to be
B's.
Reckoned
I like
with.
A's.
Only one person got an A in the league. That was your buddy who was kind of helping you out and helping you walk through this whole thing. And that is Joe Bear's team got the highest grade.
Nicest guy in the world. I'm telling you.
I mean, helped you out.
Really good people. So, again, yeah, y'all are out there. You know who you are. Met a lovely couple from, I love the town of Mamou, Louisiana. They came up. They said hello, took a picture. Just as nice as could be. Very well done. So we'll see how it all turns out. Everybody will beat me, but that's okay. It was fun meeting everybody.
You never know how it's going to go over the course of a season. Anything can happen. And I'll say this. You got Drew Brees in the last 2 years in the Under the Dome / the Producers League, back when it was called that.
You wound up having – whoa, whoa.
I'm hearing a little echo right now.
Stuff happens. That's how it works. Welcome to live radio. Technical issues. But we'll figure it out.
Okay, there we go. I think somebody wound up logging in there.
There we go.
That was weird.
There we go. See? That's strange. That's okay. Live radio. It happens.
Oh, we're just live.
You know, supposed to have a guest on it. Supposed to have a guest on it in Cody Worsham and can't get a hold of him. So you just, what do? Get mad? No, you just press on. Press on.
It's all you can do, Jordy. Just move forward. But, man, I'm looking forward to what's going to be going down tonight. The 100th season of the NFL kicks off in earnest. And it's going to be fun seeing two longtime rivals, some of the original teams in the NFL, between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, square off Would you have had it any other way to start off the 100th season?
I can't think of any better matchup than that. I think of George Halas. I think of Vince Lombardi. I think of Walter Payton and Bart Starr and Nitschke and Butkus and Sayers and some of the greatest names, the greatest players to ever play football. Two rivals, same division, Aaron Rodgers, Mitch Trubisky, Khalil Mack. No, I can't think of a better matchup. I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be amazing, and especially after what we saw last year to start off the season on Sunday Night Football, with the Packers rallying back to beat the Bears in their season debut after that was just a ridiculous game to start off the season. But it's one heck of a way to kind of get things going for the 100th season, have those two teams face off. But, of course, the other big headline revolves around A.B. Antonio Brown suspended by the Raiders after a Mike Mayock altercation. You know he was trying to break up the fight, Jordy? None other than Vontaze Burfict, the last person you would have suspected to do that.
Wow. Maybe there's hope yet for Vontaze. He knows his rope. He's at the end of his rope in the league. But I'm so tired of Antonio Brown. I've just had enough of him. I said it before. I'll say it again. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm too old school for this kind of stuff, but never, ever should one player, be put above and beyond the rest of the team. And Antonio Brown has showed his selfish nature, his immaturity. I mean, it's the helmet. It's the feet. It's back to the helmet. He's not coming to camp. He's missing practices. Everybody else is out there. And again, now he gets in an altercation or a tiff with his general manager. I'd cut him. I'd let him go. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, Jordy. It's definitely a whole thing right now going on with Antonio Brown and the Raiders, but he wound up getting rid of $30 million in guaranteed money if they suspend him because of something in his contractual clause. So let's give Barry P a short stint of the AB era in Oakland.
My question is this. If they let him go, would anybody else pick him up? Knowing full well the baggage, the complications, the problems, I don't think they would.
I don't think so. I don't think anybody would want to pick him up after all this. Kind of, you have him be just a serious headache over the last month or so. I think this has hurt his stock and his future in the NFL. It's leaning towards it.
You know,
being a whole issue.
This tells me one thing. Pittsburgh Steelers are pretty good. How they kept this quiet for so long, what this diva is all about, is kind of amazing to me. Because you know he's been like this his entire time. And it's just now coming to the surface. And now that it's on the surface, it keeps spreading and spreading, and it won't stop. And I'm just sick and tired of it. I'd cut him, and then I'd have collusion in the league. And I would tell all the other owners, don't pick him up. I'd Colin Kaepernick him. I'd do it.
Oh, wow, Jordy. I'm interested to see what happens with that. I don't think you'd want to be in collusion. I think it'd just be like, you know what, dude? Like, we don't want you to be what you've been all across, like the Pittsburgh Steelers. We saw what happened towards the end. And now this, like, you don't want to have him getting a tiff with the general manager of the Oakland Raiders or anybody for that matter. And it really shows how maybe the train wreck that's been going on in Oakland is going to wind up hopefully riding itself before long.
Well, the whole key is what's his relationship with the head coach? Yeah, I mean, guys, that's the most important thing. And how does the owner feel? Well, the owner, just win, baby, right? Just win. That's the son of Al, just win Davis. So nothing would surprise me, but man. What are the other 52 players in that locker room thinking about? What are they thinking about this clown? But tonight we got football. We got the Bears and the Packers. The Saints again, Monday night. John Hendricks will join us next to talk about that. Hot Topics, as always, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biard family right there in St. Martinville for nearly 90 years, putting out the same great product. Do yourself a flavor. Bring Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. We're back. Saints Talk next.
Are you looking for the latest? Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Oh, we've got NFL football, and it all gets underway tonight. What a great matchup with the Packers and the Bears. Storied rivalry between the two. The Saints have to wait till Monday night when the Houston Texans come to town. Our Saints reporter for Forbes Sports and Canal Street Chronicles is John Hendricks. Kind enough to join us today, John. Thanks for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing really, really well. I'm just glad I'm pulling for a team in the Saints that doesn't have the same kind of problems like what's rearing up again and again in Oakland. With Antonio Brown, just from your perspective, is the talent worth all the baggage that comes with it?
You know, I'd say probably not. I mean, you know, at this point, it wasn't so long ago the Saints had their fair share of issues. You know, you think about the Saints with Jimmy Graham or, you know, with Kenny Stills or Brandon Browner, and obviously, biggest of all, Junior Gallette. And, you know, they had just rewarded Junior Gallette with that big old massive deal, and you know, he kind of acts a fool off the field, and you know, the Saints felt so compelled that, hey, we'll manage the dead money issues, and they were prepared to move on and have life without him. So, but I would say, especially from a Saints perspective, you understand that's definitely not worth the risk.
All right, let's get to Monday night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Saints are coming in, according to reports, very, very healthy. The Texans have made a whole bunch of trades to try and get better and protect their quarterback. What do you think about this game heading into it?
Well, you know, I mean, look, let's start with the narrative. The Saints aren't so hot in the season opener. They're 5-8 in the Sean Payton era. It lost 5 straight. You know, usually it was a bad telltale sign for the season when they dropped the opener because they couldn't recover, but they kind of proved us wrong last year and the year before. So, look, I think this game has is a wild card because I believe the Texans, you know, no matter what happens in the front office, I think the more emphasis that they have right now is on defense, not their offense. So, look, it's going to be a tough time stopping Drew Brees. I think, obviously, you know, J.J. Watt is a household name. But on the flip side, Sean Watson and DeAndre Hopkins are a real strong tandem. So, look, I think this has the makings for a good, entertaining matchup. But, you know, look, I feel confident that the Saints are coming to put their best foot forward and kind of show people that, hey, we're over this whole new call business and we're just going to prove it and show it out on the field.
John Hendricks joining us. Look, that's a dangerous football team in Houston, and they certainly went out trying to protect their quarterback. Tunsil they bring over to shore up that left tackle position. Where do the Saints, the Saints defensively against this club, where do they pick their poison? What's the key for them?
Well, look, I think, you know, you want to isolate. Obviously, them not having Lamar Miller in this game is a little bit different than you're kind of relying a little bit more on Deshaun Watson. And obviously that means the Texans are still going to run the football, so don't be mistaken there. But, look, I think it's the speed to the outside, speed to the edges, and obviously I think that's where your linebacking core comes into play. You know, I don't think we talk enough about how much of an addition to Mario Davis has been to the Saints defense. It's just been so good. And the interior line, yeah. So, look, you're not going to have David Onyemata. You're not going to have him, and you're not going to have Sheldon Rankin. So, you know, I think that's where the Texans could potentially attack with a running game, just to kind of commit and make those linebackers shift on the inside. And but potentially, I see this is a Watson putting this game on his back, trying to throw it and move the sticks and try to get into the end zone. So, tough test for the Saints defense, all equally as tough test for the Texans going come into the Superdome for that no call.
Yeah, John Hendricks here with us. Is the Saints pass rush going to show up? Without Cam Jordan in the preseason, it seemed like, man, quarterbacks could sit back there and clean their fingernails and read the mail and then throw it. Now that the games count, are the Saints going to be able to make these quarterbacks have to make some quick decisions?
Yeah, I think they're going to turn on the pass rush a little bit. You know, one of the things we saw in preseason was the Saints bringing some linebacker blitzes, whether it was A.J. Klein or Mario Davis. And look, I think that's going to help disrupt some of the timing there. But, you know, look, when you didn't have a guy like Cam Jordan in the equation, you can double up, obviously, on guys like Marcus Davenport. We saw what happened with Trey Hendrickson. So, look, I know Jordan's a guy, he doesn't want to take any plays off. He wants to be out there, and you're obviously going to have to account for him and double him up, and that's going to leave you good opportunities with somebody like Trey Hendrickson or Marcus Davenport. Mm-hmm. And on the interior side, you know, don't forget about Malcolm Brown. I think he's a guy who can disrupt, obviously, a lot in that interior part and can get after the quarterback as well. So, look, I think preseason we read a lot into what we see, and maybe what we don't see is probably what we should end up hoping for when it comes down to the game.
John, could we expect a lot from Kiki Alonso in this first game?
You know, I think it's going to be depending on how much of the playbook he picks up. And, you know, look, I think he might be there in some sub packages, some small packages. Special teams probably is the extent of the work. But, you know, look, I think he's a smart player. He's obviously found a lot of different homes over the years, and it's not like the Saints gave up a ton. I mean, if you talk about giving up a player instead of a pick, you know, I think that was a pretty good win, and they have him for through next season. And so I think the move is probably a couple of reasons, maybe because of what's going on with Craig Robertson and then maybe some uncertainty there for Alex Anzalone. But, look, I think Alonso, if they need him a good bit, he'll be there. But I don't know if he'll be totally 100% as far as where he will be at in the Saints defense when he gets out there.
John Hendricks, Forbes Sports and Canal Street Chronicles, kind enough to join us. Saints open up the regular season on Monday night in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome against the Houston Texans. We know Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn Jr. are the starters. When the Saints go to their three-wide receiver set, who do you think is the third receiver?
Well, look, it's probably Jared Cook, I guess, if you want to go that way. But, no, I'm with you. It's a question we really haven't got a good answer to, right? And, you know, I would like to think it's Traquan Smith just because of what he showed last year. You know, I think Kirkwood might have some chances. Austin Carr, big roster, obviously, he'll have some chances. And look, I don't think you should sleep on Deontay Harris, maybe, getting a couple offensive snaps in the game if they do want to fix it up. Or, you know, how Sean Payton likes his gadget plays and such. So, look, as of right now, I'd say it's Traquan Smith. At the same time, I think he's got a lot to prove because, you know, even with everything, with final cuts and the way things work, this is not a group that I would say instills a lot of confidence in you, aside Michael Thomas and maybe Ted Ginn Jr. I mean, they've got a lot to prove and a lot to figure out through the course of the season.
Saints passing offense versus the Texans passing defense. Who do you give the nod to?
I definitely give it to the passing offense. And the reason why, I tell you, is the offensive line of the Saints. So, look, I think we know what we've got. And as long as they're healthy, they're obviously one of the top units. And the thing is, they can beat you in so many ways because you've got to respect the run. You've got to respect where Alvin Kamara lines up. You've got to also respect when Latavius Murray comes in and starts running the football or catching passes mm-hmm. out of the backfield. It's never been really his strong suit. So, look, you add that up with the receiver press they have, with Jared Cook in the lineup, and Drew Brees, you know, just one of those accurate passers, obviously. He's really no accolades or instruction, but, you know, I think you got to give the nod there, especially with the Texans dealing Clowney and not getting maybe a lot in return. So, I mean, Texas is still a good football team. Let's not mistake that, but, you know, the Saints, what they were able to do last year, got to give a nod to them on offense.
All right. John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. So what's the biggest matchup that you see that the Saints have to win in this game in order to win the game overall?
think it's DeAndre Hopkins. Whoever takes DeAndre Hopkins, I would expect them sending some safety help over the top. But, you know, are they going to put Eli Apple on him? Maybe because of speed, or are they going to put Marshawn Lattimore on him because of coverage? You know, with Lattimore, obviously, he's shown that he can stay with the tough tests on the week ones and on the one receivers. But he's also shown he's vulnerable, like last year against Mike Evans in that opener. So, look, I would say, Watson's going to find Hopkins. Hopkins is going to have a good day. Let's just not be dismissing that. I would say a 100-yard day for Hopkins is inevitable. But don't let him kill you with the big plays and when you need to get off the field the most. And I think that's really a key for this team going forward.
John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles, Forbes Sports. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday. We look forward to talking to you again next week. And we'll finally have a real game under our belt to dissect. So thank you as always, and have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. Y'all too.
All right, buddy. That's John Hendricks. When we return, yes, the 100th year of NFL football gets underway tonight with the Packers and the Bears. The Schwab, Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, joins us for his Thursday edition. We're going with the Schwab's picks next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Man, I hear that music and I just miss John Facenda. The Autumn Wind. Oh, he was so good. Welcome back to the Jordy Hultberg Show. Yes, season number 100. Gets underway tonight with the Packers at the Bears. It closes up Monday with a doubleheader, of which involves the Saints and the Texans. It's time to talk NFL, and we are thrilled to welcome back Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, and get his thoughts on the season. Frank, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
What's going on?
Antonio Brown's going on. Is the talent worth the baggage?
I just don't think so anymore. I mean, he's just been so erratic. The story. I mean, you know, somebody was like today, it was like, well, this is like peak T.O. So this is much worse than T.O. Even at T.O.'s worst, he was, trashing his quarterbacks and creating a little bit of a spectacle. But it was never this bad. Like, this is a story I can't even come up with a comparison for. The behavior is just, if the Raiders don't suspend him at this point, and, nothing's come down officially, I don't even know how you look at the rest of the guys in the locker room after that. You almost have to.
Exactly.
Just to prove some kind of a point, but I don't think that fixes anything. I don't think Antonio Brown gets suspended and is like, wow, I really, see things clearly now, and I'm going to just play football and not create any problems. I think it's just going to get worse and worse. If I had to answer right now, you asked me to pick whether he's going to ever play for the Oakland Raiders, I'd have to guess no. I don't see how this relationship ever gets back on track. And even if it does, even if in a normal situation that the player just kind of reports and plays, I don't think Antonio Brown can kind of keep quiet for a couple of weeks. I think there's another storm coming because that's just the way this is all gone, to the point where people questioning whether he even wants to play football anymore. I can't even argue with that. It's just a crazy story. I have no comparison to this.
I'm with you. Is it to the point where if they do get rid of him, does some other team take a chance on him? Or is he just like, nobody wants to touch this guy?
And that's the thing. I don't think a good – like, everybody's speculating about the Patriots. And, they've done this over Randy Moss. Bill Belichick does not take guys who aren't involved – who don't want to be all in on the team and want to play football. Like, that's just – this isn't a Patriots type of move.
Right.
I mean, the only team that would take a chance on him is a bad team. Like, let's think back. Back in March. Like, think of all the things that have happened since March, right? The Steelers could only get a third and fifth round pick for Antonio Brown. And at the time, we were like, wow, that's really light for a Hall of Famer. And that was before, like, they couldn't get more than that from anybody else in the NFL.
Yes.
And that was before 6 months of crazy drama where he is basically just nuked his entire relationship with a new team that gave him a raise, that made him happy. So I think teams out there who weren't willing to invest before aren't going to invest it. And, I mean, maybe a bad team, though. Like, one of these organizations where you all name them all, that those are terrible teams and they do dumb things and all that. Maybe one of those teams, but I don't think a good team would. I just think you reach a point with a guy where, sorry, we know you're a good player, but we just can't put up with this. It's just toxic for the locker room.
Yeah, Antonio Brown playing for the Dallas Cowboys next. I'm just saying. Anyway, all right, let's go with the games that matter. I can't think of a better way to start the 100th season of football in the NFL than Packers at the Bears. The Bears, nasty on defense. Aaron Rodgers with a new head coach. What do you think of this matchup tonight?
Oh, I love it. I mean, what a great game. What a great matchup. Great rivalry. Yeah, and just an interesting game. I'm really excited for it. I think the Packers are good. I've kind of just been... You know, I people are writing off Aaron Rodgers, and I don't get it. Like, people don't, you know, they're not mentioning him as, like, you know, one of the greatest. Like, this guy played through a major injury last year. Still was pretty good. He wasn't great, but he was pretty seriously injured. A bad coaching staff that has been replaced. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be out to prove to the world that it was all Mike McCarthy's fault. But I think that he knows what it would mean to his legacy to have a really big last few years here with Matt LaFleur. I think that he understands. Let's say they even win a Super Bowl, Matt LaFleur. Everybody's going to look back at Aaron Rodgers' prime and say, well, it's Mike McCarthy holding him back. Wasn't Aaron Rodgers, it was Mike McCarthy. He's self-aware. He knows this. I think he's going to have a massive year. I think that starts tonight. I think they win tonight. I think they win the division.
I
think that the Packers are going to be one of the elite NFL teams.
All right. I agree with you on that note. The Rams at the Panthers. It's a long way from the West Coast, early West Coast time. Cam Newton says he's back and better than ever. This is an interesting week one matchup.
Really interesting. The Rams are one of those teams, and I agree with this, so I'm not going to criticize it, but the Rams are one of these teams that doesn't play any starters in the preseason. I mean, that's their philosophy. We're not going to get anybody hurt. We'll live with the consequences. Well, the consequences can be that you're going to start slow in week one. We saw last year from the Rams, but that was against a bad Raiders team. This isn't a bad Panthers team. I know that their record wasn't good last year, but they got really unlucky in the second half. I think the travel doesn't help in Los Angeles either. That's a long, long trip. We don't know a lot about the Todd Gurley situation or anything like that. I like the Panthers in the spot. I really do. I think that, you know, the Rams are going to be fine. They're going to be a very good team, but I can see them starting a little slow. As long as Cam's healthy, and I guess he is, and we won't know for sure until Sunday, but I'm kind of putting my faith in Cam being close to 100% or close as he ever is, and playing really, really well. I like the Panthers. I think they're going to get a win, and I think they're going to be a pretty good team this year. I think the Panthers have a real shot to kind of even, you know, kind of compete with their Saints. I'm not going to lie. I think the Panthers have that kind of upside where they were good last year, and then they just kind of had that malaise, lost a lot of close games, and Cam was hurt. I think they're going to bounce back really strong this year and be definitely in the playoffs.
We're 2-for-2 in agreement on that one. The Titans are at the Browns. The Browns are the trendy team with plenty of talent. They've got to learn how to win a little bit. They should take care of the Titans, I would think.
You would think. I mean, Titans are without one of their best linemen, Taylor Lewan. I don't love the Titans. The Titans are one of those teams that's just, it's hard to get excited about them for any reason. It's just, they're kind of just there, you know. They're fine. They're not bad by any means, but I don't think they're that good. And the Browns would be really excited. I don't know that it's necessarily going to click all for them in week one or, you know, week two or week three. I think they got some new faces. They got a new head coach. It might take a little bit of time, but I think at the same time, this Browns team is supremely talented. They should not blow this game. I mean, this is, if they do, people in Cleveland are going to freak out because this is a game look, if you want to be a division champion, if you want to make the playoffs, you can't lose this game at home against the Tennessee Titans. You just can't. Like, this is the type of day. Hey, if the Browns want to be taken seriously, it starts here. It starts with beating a Tennessee Titans team that you should beat. And I think they will. I know uglier than we think, but I generally think, yeah, the Browns are going to take care of business.
Frank Schwab, editor of Shutdown Corner, Yahoo Sports. Boy, this is a good one because it's the Chiefs' offense against the Jacksonville Jaguar defense. Can they slow down Patrick Mahomes and company? I think they can a little bit. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm picking the Jags to upset the Chiefs.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. I've been trying to talk myself into it. But, man, it's just one of those games where you know that you could sit there and you know, late first quarter, you're like, wow, it's 17-0. What did I do? This Chiefs team is unstoppable. Why am I picking the Jaguars? They can just explode for so many points, and they have so many weapons. And Andy Reid's a great coach. I don't know. I can't lie to you. I haven't really decided on this game. I guess I'm leaning the Chiefs just because I'm scared of picking against them because they could put 40 on anybody, even the Jaguars. But again, tough road game. Week one, everybody's engaged. You're not going to catch your Jaguars sleeping week one. So I think that it's going to be a heck of a football game. Great matchup between that defense and offense. I guess I'm leaning Chiefs, but I might be talking to the Jaguars by the weekend here. There's some good points to be made for that team.
We'll see. Back to the NFC South, the Falcons at the Vikings. Matt Ryan against Kirk Cousins. I got to believe the Falcons are going to be better on defense this season because they're healthier now. But they got to go on the road in that building. Who do you like? Falcons at the Vikings?
You know, I like the Vikings. I do think the Falcons are going to be better. You're right. I mean, their defense is healthier. Their offensive line has improved. But I also think the Vikings are going to be better. Last year was a weird season for them and that they just could not beat any good team. But they're pretty good against your below average teams. I don't know who the Falcons are. I don't know if they're good. I don't know if they're bad. Now you got Julio Jones. I'm not really happy that this contract extension hasn't gotten done, and I don't know why it hasn't gotten done. It's a little weird. So I'll go with the Vikings, but the Falcons are the team. They're the one team that I can't figure out. You could tell me at the end of the year they won 5 games or they won 12 games. I don't think I'd be surprised at either one. They have such good frontline talent. They have a good quarterback. They have all these things working for them, but yet last year they were no good, and they had a great year for Matt Ryan. So I don't know what to expect of the Falcons. So I just got to play it safe and think the Vikings win this, because I do think the Vikings are going to be a better team. I think they're going to be closer to what we thought they would be last preseason, and then they disappointed us. But we'll see. They showed no ability to beat good teams last year. That's what they got to start doing this season.
Frank Schwab, Shutdown Corner, Yahoo Sports. Steelers, the new look Steelers without Antonio Brown. Boy, they're laughing going, thank God. And Le'Veon Bell is now with the Jets. They're gone, but they got to go to New England, and they got to open up on the road. Tom Brady is 11-3 with 31 touchdown passes and 5 picks in his career against the Steelers. Does he make it 12-3?
I think so, but I do think this game is going to be close. It wouldn't shock me if the Steelers won. I think we are seeing, look, we talked a lot about Antonio Brown. I think we're seeing the Steelers, there's an addition by subtraction going on. I think that we talk about, how are they going to survive without Antonio Brown? And we think about the touchdowns he scored and all the yards, and it's very fair to think that. But at the same time, you have to assume, now that we know we really got a window in Antonio Brown and that circus, how much was he holding them back? How much was he affecting their locker room?
Yes.
How the team chemistry and just this whole circus around Antonio Brown. I wonder if the Steelers are going to be kind of free. Juju Smith-Schuster is a lot more likable guy. We can rally around him, and we still have talent. I think the Steelers are going to be a little bit better than we think, just because we're kind of not factoring in how much Antonio Brown might have affected them negatively off the field that we didn't see. I think they do play the Patriots really, really tough in this game. And the Patriots have started season slow before. We've seen that a lot. So it wouldn't shock me if the Steelers get them. It's tough to pick against the Patriots at home in prime time. I won't do it. But it would not surprise me at all if this is one of those, hey, we're tied up with 5 minutes to go type of game.
Close.
back.
Yeah, close game. I got you. Monday nights, the Texans at the Saints. The Texans have gotten rid of Jadeveon Clowney. They traded for Laremy Tunsil to give some help to Deshaun Watson. But it's a Monday night. It's in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome with a pretty good Saints team. What do you think?
Yeah, and the Saints are another one of those teams can start a little slow. I mean, it's just kind of, it happens. I don't know if there's that's a trend or just a small sample, but I think the Texans can keep it close, but I don't, again, it's tough to pick. I can sit here and say, you know, look at the point spread, it's too high and all that kind of stuff, but can I really bring myself to pick the Houston Texans to win at the Superdome, especially after that trade? They're working in new guys. Yeah. I can't sit here and tell you I think they're going to beat the Saints. But again, I do think it's going to be a good game. Deshaun Watson's really, really good, and they have some really good guys around him. And they could score enough to stick with the Saints for a while, but I do think the Saints win this. It's just tough. It's so tough to pick against the Saints in that building.
Please tell me that your Broncos are going to go on the road and beat the Raiders with Joe Flacco, with all the distractions that the Raiders have. Please tell me that's going to happen.
I mean, the Broncos defense looked really good in the preseason, the little bit they played anyway. I think that Vic Fangio has got these guys excited. Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are really, really good. I don't see how the Raiders really block them. Yeah. And then, again, like, they keep bringing up Antonio Brown, but how's this team going to respond? Antonio Brown doesn't play. They don't have Antonio Brown. That's obviously a big deal. If the Raiders somehow don't suspend Antonio Brown now, I can't even imagine the mindset of those remaining players. Like, what are we doing here? Why do we even have to show up to practice anymore? This guy didn't. So I think whether he plays or he doesn't, they're going to be – it's a bad news situation for the Raiders. I was kind of in on the Raiders for a while this offseason. I thought they improved in a lot of spots. They're going to be better. I'll give Gruden a second chance. But this Antonio Brown thing has just been so bad for them. And the Broncos did look good in the preseason, especially on defense. I got to pick the Broncos. I just can't – look, if Gruden can get these guys together – and focus on a game and not this AB stuff, that would be a heck of a job, because that's all we're talking about, and I imagine that's all they're thinking about either.
I'm with you. This is when you always make picks, right? You always tell us who's going to win the MVP, who's going to be in the Super Bowl. So what do you got this year? Where are you leaning so far?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it before. I think Aaron Rodgers is MVP. I think he has a monster season. I'm just not willing to give up on the idea that Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback of the game. All due respect to Patrick Mahomes, I think Rodgers just has this monster year. I think they win that division. I think Matt LaFleur wins Coach of the Year just because we're going to give him too much credit for what happened. But I don't think they make the Super Bowl. I think when I look at it, I think the Philadelphia Eagles have the best roster. I think that they're just loaded from top to bottom. And now, yeah, Carson Wentz has to stay healthy. But you say that about just about every team. He has the injury history that other guys don't. But, look, yeah, every team needs a quarterback to stay healthy to win a Super Bowl generally. I guess the Eagles did a couple of years ago. But I think that the Eagles have the best roster top to bottom. I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl. And I'm just not giving up on the Chargers. I'm being stubborn on this. I'm picking them to win the AFC and lose to the
Chargers,
Eagles in the Super Bowl. Even though, I know, everything's gone wrong for the Chargers the last couple of weeks. And I just can't. I've dug in too deep. I don't want to let go of the Chargers. I don't want the Chargers to have a great year and have me back out right at the end. So I'll go with the Eagles over the Chargers in the Super Bowl.
I love how you stick to your guns. That's great. Frank Schwab, I'm going to send Antonio Brown to your house, put him on your couch. Maybe you can get some common sense into the guy, but he's just ruining a great career by acting like just a buffoon. So anyway, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the Packers at the Bears tonight, my friend. Thank you so much.
No doubt. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports. I'm of the belief they should cut him, and I'm of the belief that Antonio Brown shouldn't play in the league ever again. That's just me. Not worth it. Not worth it. And it's only going to get worse. He never learns his lesson, does he? Never. Whoever picked him in their fantasy draft, good luck. We'll be back to wrap things up. Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
all the best guests, join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, quick wrap-up here on this Thursday edition. Special thanks to our guest, Brody Miller of The Athletic, John Hendricks of Canal Street Chronicles and Forbes Sports, and then Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports. Opening night of the NFL, Packers at the Bears. Doesn't get much better than that. History lesson, it was on this day, September the 5th, the year was 1994. San Francisco wide receiver Jerry Rice caught two touchdown passes, ran for another score in the 49ers 44-14 rout of the Raiders. Those three touchdowns helped him surpass Jim Brown as the NFL's career touchdown leader with 127. No argument, the greatest wide receiver ever, Jerry Rice. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday from all of us to all of you. You share it with happy 68th birthday to Michael Keaton. Still gorgeous. Happy 79th birthday to Raquel Welch. She's gorgeous. And happy 90th birthday to Bob Newhart. How about that? And on the LSU front, we'll wish a happy birthday to the late Paul Dietzel and current LSU basketball player Skylar Mays. Tomorrow, it's a football Friday. We'll have Jim Nickel with the Nickel Report, Jordy and the Judge with Doug Morrow, George Faust on the Ragin' Cajuns and high school football, Larry Holder on the Saints, George Becknell with Monday's headlines on a Friday. We'll be rocking and rolling. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 1037 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helper. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.